So guys, today we're looking at the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 2. And we're going to look at the portion of scripture whereby Paul is addressing women. And yeah, let's see what we will learn from that today. 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 9. Let's read. Verse 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Verse 11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the men, but to be in silence. Man, that's harsh. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Verse 13. Verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. So there was 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 9 to verse 15. Man, that is intense. But we need to interpret it in its proper perspective. So there is one thing we need to know, that God's nature transcends all our bias, transcends all our prejudice. We have to be aware that centuries of tradition are not undone in a single night. So as I clarify these verses, there'll be centuries of tradition which are fighting against the truth. We have two types of teachers. Those, when looking at the scriptures, draw out traditions of men. And those, when looking at the scriptures, draw out the truth of God's word. I trust that those watching today will repent from tradition, and people will draw out truth from this. So we see the Bible teaches us that to show partiality is sin. Showing partiality is sin. We can't show partiality, whether it is racial, whether it is gender specific, or of a particular ethnic group. To show partiality is sin. God is not a respecter of persons. Galatians 3:28 teaches us, for in Christ there is neither male or female, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither Jew nor Gentile in Christ. That is an important verse. The showing of partiality is sin. Then Paul, even written Galatians, why on earth would you go to Timothy and show partiality? Why would you do that? Unless we are misunderstanding Paul, because we don't have the historical context to this matter. First of all, understand that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first 5 to 8 chapters, he's addressing men. And then he addresses slaves. And then from verse 9, he addresses women. So he's addressing both groups. And then from verse 9, he's addressing women, which is where our emphasis is today. So Paul says women must adorn themselves in modest apparel. So here's a historical background. This letter is written to Timothy. Timothy at this point is in Ephesus. Now the church at Ephesus was the biggest church in Asia Minor. There were thousands of people there. It was the biggest church. But in Asia Minor there was a problem. In Asia Minor there was the temple of the goddess Diana. And Diana, when they worshipped this idol. Women were the priests in her temple, and women were pornographic in their attire, and they would lead, and they would use their sexuality to manipulate men. And so they would dress themselves in gold and costly array and with braided hair. This is how the priestess of Diana would dress. So Paul, addressing a unique situation, says, let the woman, because a lot of them were saved from the idol worship of Diana. So Paul is speaking a message of sanctification, that be separate from Diana. You have repented from that, change your attire as well, so that not to mislead others and not to dilute and contaminate the gospel. In this unique circumstance, that's why I said no braided hair, no costly array, no gold and silver. It was for that unique purpose. But there is a deeper problem in Ephesus. At this time, there was persecution against the church, and the Romans were on an agenda to torment and crucify and take them to prison. Now, Paul, being a former agent of such, remember Paul persecuted the church. He knew what happened to women in prison. He knew what men did to them. And there was something unique about Christian women. They were the only ones who were literate. They were the only ones who were bold enough to speak in public and proclaim the gospel. They were the only ones who were doing such. So it was easy for the Roman soldiers to identify Christian women. So Paul, in his own volition, he says, I suffer not a woman to teach, because Paul knows what would happen to them in prison. It was Paul's instruction and advice that don't go that route, don't go there, you know. So hence Paul says, I suffer not a woman to teach. This was not a doctrinal issue. It was not even a religious issue. The issue here is purely political, because Christian women were being targeted. And as a result, Paul is giving a political solution. He says, I suffer not a woman to teach. I suffer her not. The second issue we're facing here is that most women in this era were illiterate. And so now, Paul was allowing actually for women to study the word and be literate. And there's something Paul says in verse number 11. He says, let the woman learn in silence. Now, some people, when they read this, they say, let the woman be silent as she's learning. But that's not what Paul meant. What Paul meant was that let her be silent as the woman is learning. Don't let anyone stop her or interrupt her. Let her learn in peace. Let her learn in silence. Do you see what context does? It gives us a better perspective, and it is consistent with all the other teachings of Paul. It is consistent with that. So I want us to look at something. I want us to look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7. Listen to this. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Did you hear that, men? There is something which can cause our prayers to be hindered. That's how you treat your wife. Man, that is hard. So God places exceptional value on how a man treats his wife. He says, treat her as the weaker vessel. He's not saying that she's weak, but as the weaker vessel. But if you want to be literal about it, if she's weaker, then you are weak. Degree of comparison. as the weaker vessel. He was actually addressing the mannerisms of how she should be treated. So he says, honor her, treat your wife with honor. Wow, treat your wife with honor. But in verse 6, I know you're waiting for this one. In verse 6, 1 Peter 3, verse 6, verse 5 and verse 6, it says, for after this manner, in the old time, holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well. So, Paul also says, women, honor your husbands. And look at Sarah. She called her own husband Lord. Now, that is a good thing, to honor your husband. But let us look at the relationship of Sarah and Abraham. And if you go to Genesis chapter 21, verse 12. Look at Genesis 21, verse 12. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the land and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Did you hear that? God says, in all that Sarah has said unto Abraham, Abraham should hearken unto her voice. So this is the kind of relationship Sarah and Abraham had. The way he hearkened and would give her room to express her own individuality got to such a point that Sarah had to even remind Abraham, you are my Lord. So the issue here is mutual submission, submitting one unto another. And that's how things should be. We should be submitted one unto another. Now,